Good morning and welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. Day number 218 brings us back to Numbers, back to Balaam. No more talking donkey in these chapters, but rather we see today and tomorrow Balaam's repeated attempts to try to curse Israel, but God putting the words in Balaam's mouth so that Balaam speaks blessing and prophesies wonderful things for the people of God. So this is what's on tap for us today and tomorrow. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth that is unchanging and unchangeable. You never change. You never turn. You never fail. You keep your word. You keep your promises. That's one of the things we learn in today's passage. So teach us. Write your word in our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Numbers chapter 23. And Balaam said to Balak, build for me here 7 altars, and prepare for me here 7 bulls and 7 rams. Balak did as Balaam had said, and Balak and Balaam offered on each altar a bull and a ram. And Balaam said to Balak, stand beside your burnt offering and I will go. Perhaps the Lord will come to meet me, and whatever he shows me, I will tell you. And he went to a bare height, and God met Balaam. And Balaam said to him, I have arranged the 7 altars, and I have offered on each altar a bull and a ram. And the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth and said, return to Balak, and thus you shall speak. And he returned to him, and behold, he and all the princes of Moab were standing beside his burnt offering. And Balaam took up his discourse and said, from Aram Balak has brought me, the king of Moab from the eastern mountains. Come, curse Jacob for me, and denounce, come, denounce Israel. How can I curse whom God has not cursed? How can I denounce whom the Lord has not denounced? For from the top of the crags I see him, from the hills I behold him. Behold, a people dwelling alone and not counting itself among the nations? Who can count the dust of Jacob or number the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the upright, and let my end be like his. And Balak said to Balaam, what have you done to me? I told you to curse my enemies, and behold, you have done nothing but bless them. And he answered and said, must I not take care to speak what the Lord puts in my mouth? And Balak said to him, please come with me to another place from which you may see them. You shall see only a fraction of them and shall not see them all. Then curse them for me from there. And he took him to the field of Zophim, to the top of Pisgah, and built 7 altars, and offered a bull and a ram on each altar. Balaam said to Balak, stand here beside your burnt offering while I meet the Lord over there. And the Lord met Balaam and put a word in his mouth and said, return to Balak, and thus shall you speak. And he came to him, and behold, he was standing beside his burnt offering, and the princess of Moab with him. And Balak said to him, what has the Lord spoken? And Balaam took up his discourse and said, rise, Balak, and hear. Give ear to me, O son of Zippor. God is not man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it? Behold, I received a command to bless. He has blessed, and I cannot revoke it. He has not beheld misfortune in Jacob, nor has he seen trouble in Israel. The Lord their God is with them, and the shout of a king is among them. God brings them out of Egypt and is for them, like the horns of the wild ox. For there is no enchantment against Jacob, no divination against Israel. Now it shall be said of Jacob and Israel, what has God wrought? Behold, a people. As a lioness, it rises up, and as a lion, it lifts itself. It does not lie down until it has devoured the prey and drunk the blood of the slain. And Balak said to Balaam, Do not curse them at all, and do not bless them at all. But Balaam answered Balak, Did I not tell you all that the Lord says that I must do? And Balak said to Balaam, Come now, I will take you to another place. Perhaps it will please God that you may curse them for me from there. So Balak took Balaam to the top of Peor, which overlooks the desert. And Balaam said to Balak, Build for me here 7 altars, and prepare for me here 7 bulls and 7 rams. And Balak did as Balaam said, and offered a bull and a ram on each altar. That's Numbers 23. So there's some strange things happening here, and they'll continue happening in chapter 24. And to really understand what's happening, we have to understand the mindset of sort of ancient paganism, which is really what Balak would have been most familiar with. And even Balaam, even though he's a prophet who can speak words from Yahweh, he still would be most familiar and most immersed in the paganism of the ancient Near East. So one of the aspects of it is that the gods were believed to be territorial gods. They had areas, they had land, they had peoples, they had tribes, but it was sort of geographically bound. In fact, when you moved into a new land, even though you were the same people, if you moved into a new land, you would want to try to get to know the gods of that land, because that land would, you know, be blessed and protected by those gods. So this idea of going to this place and then this place and come over here to this place, they're trying to find a spot, perhaps, where maybe Yahweh would be a little bit weaker and there would be a way to break through the protection of Yahweh and put a curse on the people of Israel. The other thing is that paganism is a transactional religion. And what do I mean by that? Well, it's a transaction. Transactions where you exchange money for goods and services. And so the idea was that a lot of ancient pagans believed the gods were hungry, and the only way they could eat is if you offered to them animals. The gods were needy. They needed to be believed in. They needed to be worshipped. If they weren't believed in, if they weren't worshipped, they would grow weak and tired, and maybe even die. So this idea of gods who are really created in the image of man. It's been famously said that in the beginning, God created man in his image. And ever since then, man has been trying to return the favor. And that's true. Our man-made gods are very much like us. So fickle, unreliable, easily persuaded, bribable, have weaknesses. Maybe go find the weak spot in the armor of Yahweh. So that's kind of what's going on here. But what God speaks, what the Lord speaks through Balaam, is the truth, and it counters all of the falsehood that Balak and even that Balaam would have believed. So what was the whole purpose of Balak sending for Balaam and offering him all this money and promising to honor him? It was to curse Israel, to curse Jacob. But Balaam gets a word from the Lord and says, How can I curse whom God has not cursed? How can I denounce whom the Lord, whom Yahweh, has not denounced? He cannot, in and of himself, conjure up a curse against someone who is under the protection and the blessing of God. This reminds me of some missionary stories from Haiti, a missionary that we as a church have supported, who has since gone home to be with the Lord. But when he first moved into this area in Haiti, where the ministry is active now, Reformation Hope Ministry, they were surrounded by voodoo priests. There were like 3 or 4 voodoo priests in the area who were really strong, really powerful. And voodoo is an example of this sort of paganism, this idea that you can go to the voodoo priest and you can pay them money or you can give them chickens or livestock, and they will curse someone that you want to curse and they'll bless someone that you want to bless. It's all very, very much in keeping with the sort of ancient kind of paganism. And so these voodoo priests, when they saw Pastor Jean-Jacques Paul moving into the area and preaching the gospel, they hated it. And they said they were going to curse him and that he was not going to escape their curse. And he basically stood there and confronted them and said, if you try to curse me, God's going to curse you. And that's because, you know, the ministry of the gospel is under the blessing and the protection of God. And those who seek to curse those whom God has blessed, they themselves find that they are cursed. And so within a short period of time, two of the voodoo priests who were in that area died. They died very suddenly, very unexpectedly, and two others fled the area and basically said, I don't want to have anything to do with this gospel and with this pastor, because they are obviously blessed and protected by God. And so that's what Balak is being confronted with, is the reality that he's run up into something that he can't buy his way out of. He cannot oppose because God has blessed them. And when he tries to find a different angle on it, find a different place, offer more bulls and rams, God says to him very powerfully in Numbers 23, verse 19, God is not man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it? So that verse right there is just a powerful verse. It's a great one to memorize, to hide in your heart, to hold on to as true. This is God's self-revelation against the false idolatry of the world. You see, the idols of the world, they make promises that they don't keep. And they change their mind. And they disappoint. And they fail to fulfill their word because they're not true gods. The one true God is not a man. He doesn't lie. He doesn't change his mind. And he's not unable to fulfill his promises. If he's spoken something, he will fulfill it. And so, he says, he's brought them out of Egypt, verse 22, he is for them like the horns of the wild ox. And this verse 22 reminds me of a great gospel truth in Romans chapter 8. If God is for us, who can stand against us? He who did not spare his own son, but freely gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? That's Romans 8, 31, 32. So this is the powerful truth of the gospel, is that in Christ, who is Emmanuel, God has come to be with us. And in Christ, our Redeemer, God is for us. And because God is for us, no enchantment, no divination, no curse will stand against God's people. Does that mean we're going to get everything we want? Does that mean we can sort of name it and claim it and have a life of ease and prosperity? No. I mean, Israel wasn't here having a life of ease and prosperity. Remember when we were with them in the camp just a few chapters ago? They were grumbling. They were complaining. They weren't always getting what they wanted. Here we get another perspective that even though they are grumbling and complaining and not getting everything they expected, even though they're facing challenges, you know, where Edom wouldn't let them pass through their land and they had to go to battle. Even though they're facing those types of realities, God is for them. God is protecting them. God is blessing them. And God is bringing them into the promised land. That's the perspective we need on our lives too. Because sometimes we get in the weeds, as it were. We get in the rough and tumble day-to-day life and we feel disappointment and discouragement. Terrible things can happen to us. We can feel grumbling and complaining in our spirits because we're not getting what we wanted or what we expected. It can feel, in our subjective experience, it can feel like we're cursed and like we're just not getting anywhere. But in fact, if we belong to the Lord through faith in Jesus Christ, we are blessed. We are greatly blessed. We are kept. God is for us. And if our God is for us, who could stand against us? Let's pray. Father, thank you that you never lie. You never change your mind. You never fail to keep your promises. And that if we belong to you through faith in Jesus Christ, we are kept, we are blessed, we are loved, and we are being led to the eternal promised land where we will be with you and your people forever. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, tomorrow we're going to keep going with Numbers 24. Hope you can join us for that. Have a blessed day in the Lord.